You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Today's message is called Eyes Fixed. Eyes Fixed. Who's ready to hear the Word of God? Couple of people. Who's ready to hear the Word of God? You know, the Word of God, it calls us to be alert and have a clear mind. And this is what it says in 1 Peter, and this is the beginning of 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, keep your mind clear and be alert. You know, sometimes it's easier said than done. Who would agree with that? Sometimes it's difficult to keep your mind clear and be alert. There is a reason, however, that God encourages us through the scriptures to be alert and clear-minded. You know, at this moment in time, I'm just going to breathe this into us as a church today. At this moment in time, we are living as a church in the days that our forebears prayed and fasted for. We are living and breathing in the days that they prayed for, they fasted for, they sacrificed for. We're living in the promises of the brothers and sisters of Christ who sacrificed. They believed. They showed up with faith and belief that God's words and promises were true. That His call for believers to go out into their world and share the good news of Jesus wasn't a suggestion, but an invitation that was too good to refuse. We're living in the glory of those moments from those who have gone before us in the past 40 years. See, because of them, see, they had their eyes fixed. Because they had their eyes fixed on Jesus, generations came to know faith and be known by God. Many of you sitting here right now are trophies of that. You're trophies of that. See, their fruit sits in these seats today because they had their eyes fixed on the promises, had their eyes fixed on what God had called them to do. And I want to encourage you personally today. Not just speaking to a group of people, not just speaking to a room, not speaking to some walls. I'm speaking to you today. It's time for the next generations to be reminded to have their eyes fixed. Their eyes firmly fixed on the promises that God has for you, that the promises that God has for your family, the promises that God has for the church. The promises that are fulfilled when the commission is outworked. See, we rejoice in those that came before us, but the mission is not over. The mission's not over. See, when an individual has their eyes fixed, they have focus. And they have focus on what matters when their eyes are fixed on Jesus. See, the rest of the scripture of 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this, keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Go, well, that's not very encouraging, Pastor. See, God loves us so much that He lets us know what's going on around us. See, this encouragement to keep a clear mind, to be alert, because when your eyes aren't fixed, when you lose focus, it's really easy to be picked off by the opponent. See, the funny thing is that the way that the opponent likes to try and devour us isn't so much with his teeth. He likes to try and devour us with our feelings, with distractions, with confusion, with addiction, with division, with thoughts in your head, with the breaking of family units. I want to urge you today, press on. Press on. Stay focused. Don't give up. Be alert. Have your mind clear. Amen. See, in Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I've heard people quote that scripture before, and so fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. No, the perfecter of faith. He is faith. He has perfected it. And when we received him, we received perfected faith. Amen. See, in the middle of great times, eyes fixed. In the middle of health battles, eyes fixed. In the middle of family, work, eyes fixed. In all times, eyes fixed. On fixed on who? Fixed on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of faith. It's about having Jesus in focus. Amen. See, our example is him. We fix our eyes on his victory. We fix our eyes on his character. We fix our eyes on his salvation, his faith. We fix our eyes on what he endured for us and every single person born on planet Earth. He is the one that we have our eyes fixed on. See, in this season that you're in right now, keep your eyes fixed on him and your faith in him. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, the full passage of scripture there. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, come on. Consider him. Consider what he went through. See, whether you're on top of the world or you're up against it, throw off hindrances, throw off sin, and look to the one who endured. He endured it for you to have freedom. He endured it for you to have victory. Throw off hindrances. A brief interlude this morning. What's the hindrance that you need to throw off? It's one thing to read it in the scriptures, but it's another thing to personalize it. What are the hindrances? It's like, I cannot carry this hindrance with me any longer. What's the sin that entangles? It's time to throw it off. It's time to throw off the sin that entangles. You know, I've had many conversations over this year with individuals coming to me. It's like, there's this thing that I've got in my life that I can't walk with anymore. See, the Holy Spirit brings them to the place of convicting them to be more like Jesus, and their response is, there's people in this room right now I've had this conversation with, and the response is, I need to get rid of this stuff. I need to get this out of my life. I can't have this in my bedroom anymore. I can't walk with this. It's a hindrance to the life that Jesus has called me to. See, maybe, why am I saying that? Because maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm the only one who struggles with hindrances and sin that entangles. Hello. We were born into a sinful world. And maybe we don't talk about it enough. So focused on God's glory and his grace and his mercy, which is 100% true. But what about when you've been in church a long time? And there's some things that maybe should have been dealt with a decade ago, but they weren't. It's like, oh, I can't bring it up now. I can't bring the shame and condemnation is not yours to carry. See, good people in your world, they won't hold you to account for it. They'll rejoice that you're stepping into freedom and throwing off hindrances, getting rid of the sin that entangles. as you step into the freedom that God has for you. See, where our eyes are fixed, it matters. Does anyone remember that old song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus? Such a beautiful old song. Sing it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, where our eyes are fixed matters. When our focus is on him, the sin that entangles, the hindrances, we want to throw it off. We don't want to carry it anymore. We just want to turn our eyes to him and look to everything that he has for us. Who we fix our eyes on matters. See, what we're focused on has the potential to control our thoughts and have influence over our emotions for better or worse. What we're focused on, who we're focused on, it matters. What we're looking at continually matters. What we invest ourselves in matters. See, the truth is that eventually, if we look at things too long, look at things too much, eventually we become the things that we look at. Now, if we're looking at Jesus, amen, becoming more like him. If we're looking at movies that don't glorify him and they entangle our souls, they confuse our minds, if we're ingesting ideologies of the world, don't be surprised if you eventually grow soft to it. And then you begin to look at everyone else, it's like, oh, these church people are so fundamental. Oh no, they just want Jesus. They just want his freedom. They want to be controlled by the swaying of the world here, there, and everywhere. They want to be focused on the one. I understand the tension of walking that tightrope in workplaces and universities and schools. I understand what's happening in the world right now. See, some of you will be familiar with the following word that I'm about to talk about. Others will be familiar with how the action of this word works in your life. And that word is ruminate. Ruminate. And it means to think about something deeply. To think deeply about something. And it's not good thinking about something deeply. It's thinking about it over and over and over and over and over. In fact, it's a little bit like a cow, like chewing on grass over and over. You're hoping to get... I've picked this photo because his hair looks like he's just going through a bit of a phase. Hair does look a bit like you, Tim. He said it, not me. So you're just chewing the same thing over and over, hoping to get something better out of it, hoping to get something good out of it. But once you've gone over and over and over and over, and it begins to control the fixation of your mind and you can't look at anything else, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. See, this word ruminate, there's a connection to the word meditate. But they're not the same thing. See, meditate is to deeply contemplate and focus on something. See, ruminating or rumination, it's not the same as meditating. It's different. So fixated when you ruminate, so fixated by the thought or task that nothing else can break the focus. It's so controlling of your whole well-being. I want to encourage you, if that's something that's controlling your world right now, I just want to speak hope into you. This doesn't have to be your every day. This doesn't have to be your every night. There's support, there's help, there's encouragement. See, ruminating can lead to negative thought spirals and emotional fixations and other non-functional practices. See, these things can quite easily form patterns and practices within us and eventually within our family as it overflows to them as well. See, but fixing our eyes and focus on Jesus, meditating on the promises of God over our lives, that can break unhealthy patterns. That can allow us to implement God's patterns for our lives. How can we do this? How can we start the practice of having our eyes fixed on Jesus? How can we focus on meditating on the good things, the right things? Some biblical support for us today with this. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication, earnestly asking. Earnestly asking with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, this new action, this new practice, this new behavior. I would say that when we're caught in a rumination fixation, the last thing we're thinking about doing is lifting our eyes to the one who saved us. The last thing we're thinking about doing is, oh, Jesus, thank you. We get so caught in those thoughts. And who knows when you're caught in those thoughts? I say this from personal experience. The anxiousness that comes with it, it induces anxious feelings. It induces potential anxiety. And I love that God speaks to us in the way, don't be anxious about anything. So it's easy for you to say, Pastor. It's not easy for any of us. There's different seasons that we go through. Some where we're on top of the world and others where we're like, Jesus, you can come back yesterday. But the encouragement is for us, take those things that are challenges in our mind and in our hearts. Take those entanglements, take those sins and bring it to God in prayer and earnestly ask him, these are my requests. I need help. I need freedom. I need encouragement. I need this breakthrough in my workplace. So bring it to him. Don't hold it within. Don't fixate on it. Bring it to the one. Why? Because he'll bring peace to you in those situations. Is it still difficult and challenging? Absolutely. However, he's not going to leave you and hang you out to dry. That's not his nature. See, this new action and pattern of refusing to side with the feeling of anxiousness. Even while you're potentially feeling it, even while potentially your thoughts are beginning to weaken, bring the challenges to God in prayer. Earnestly ask him. I just love this. With thanksgiving. God, I'm so thankful. My heart rejoices at what you've done before, and my heart rejoices at what you're going to do now. I've got faith for it. I just want to encourage you, break rumination and institute meditation and prayer. This is some takeaway homework for all of us, amen. Those moments where you're just like, and I'm not expecting it's like, Pastor, 5 minutes into those thoughts, I was like, I've got it. It may take some time. There's some things that happened in my week this week, and it took me like a good day and a half just like, come on, man. It's real for all of us. Philippians 4 goes on to say in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What we focus on matters. Where our focus is drawn to matters. Meditate on the goodness of God. Meditate on the victories that he's won for you. Meditate on the good people in your life. Meditate on the word of God. There's some other scriptures on the screen that just to help you with activating, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Fix your thoughts on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. Hebrews 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Two reasons to stay with our eyes fixed. You feel free to write this down if you're taking notes. Two reasons to stay with our eyes fixed. What we fix our eyes on, we end up pursuing. What we fix our eyes on, we end up pursuing. It's true for me when I saw Naomi. What we fix our eyes on, we end up pursuing. See, that's the blessing of God. That was part of God's will. Amen. God's answer to prayer. Breakthrough for our family, breakthrough for generations came from fixing my eyes on what God had put before me. Second one, when our eyes stay fixed on our high priest, we're ready to follow his lead, to love and minister to others. You know, if we're so busy ruminating on everything that's just going wrong in our world, there's all these people around us that don't even have an understanding of God's goodness, of God's mercy, of God's grace, of salvation, of what God did at the cross through Jesus. And we're so, it's like, oh God, what's going on? Have I done something wrong in like a previous life? What? Where did that come from? We need to lift our eyes, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter. Yeah, we need to fix our eyes on him for our city, for our families, for our church, for our colleagues, for our community, for our neighbors. A third point for good measure today. Eyes fix, people grow to look like the one they follow. When our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we're acknowledging his character, his holiness, his love for others. That's who we grow into being. That's who we grow into being. See, we're an eyes fixed on Jesus church. That's who we are. We're eyes fixed on Jesus church. Not fixed on limitation, not fixed on lack, not fixed on ourselves, not fixed on making ourselves look better, fixed on Jesus. He is our lead. He is our head. He is the one that we follow. Amen. And before we head into a moment of response this morning, I want to give those of you in the space this morning who don't know Jesus personally the opportunity to know Jesus personally. You know, you may have heard people say what I'm about to say in a moment, and it didn't make you feel good about yourself or just feel good at all. And you may have heard people say, for the wages of sin are death. Well, that's not very encouraging. It's not overly encouraging at all, is it? I've got good news for you. They missed out on the part of the scripture. It wasn't a saying that they were coming up with. They were quoting half of a scripture. The second part of the scripture says this: but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin's an entanglement, and the only way to get freedom from it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us the gift of eternal life, of freedom from sin. 1 John 4, 9-10 says this: God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I don't know about you, but if you find yourself in a moment where you're just searching, you don't even know what you're searching for, the truth is in every single one of us, there is a deep longing to be known. We head out into the world and we try and find it in so many different things. Relationships, career, being the center of attention, searching for ways to feel like we're known and we're worthy of something. I've got news for you today. The thing you're actually searching for is a relationship with God. It's a spiritual drawing inside of us. We're drawn back to God, drawn back into relationship with him. See, this is a moment for you to respond to God's love, to be known, to know God personally, to have a personal relationship with him, to have eternal life, to be free of sin, a moment to fix your eyes on the one who has always seen you, always loved you, always cared for you. Just as the team come this morning, just with our eyes closed for a moment. When that scripture that God sent his one and only Son, God sent his Son to earth, walked among us, lived without sin, and then went to the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins, rose in victory, rose in power. If that's you today, we're going to pray a prayer as a church. But if you don't know Jesus personally, pray this prayer of salvation, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, receiving love, forgiveness, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Why don't we pray? Pray after me. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus on the third day. Forgive me of my sin. From this day on, I choose to follow you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, with all of my mind. I'm following you. I repent of all my sin and I surrender to you. You are Lord, you are Savior, you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, amazing. Heaven rejoices right now. If you pray that prayer because you've been off doing your own thing, but you just know in your deepest heart of hearts that you needed to come back to a place with him, well done. Well done. In fact, that's what God your Father would be saying to you right now if you were sitting in a room. It's like, well done. Well done. You've done what's right. You've done what's good. You've come back to the Father. You know, I just wanted to take a moment today. There's some specific things that I've touched on. And even as a church, we're in one of our greatest seasons that we've had in a long time, potentially even one of the greatest seasons we've had as a church. You know, more of you are serving in the body of Christ than ever. More of you are saying, I'm not an attender. I'm committed, hand on my heart, boots on the ground, cross-carrying. You can count me in as a follower of Jesus. More of you are doing that more than ever. So your eyes are fixed. I want to encourage you, but don't be surprised that even in the greatest season we're having as a church, that our opponent isn't happy with that at all. The devil's not happy with that at all. That you're stepping into the promises of God for your life. Maybe the devil's on the prowl. See, that scripture that I read earlier, it says he sounds like a roaring lion. It doesn't say that he is. It says he sounds like. So, but when that roar comes in the middle of things that are happening, it doesn't just affect you, it affects the people around you, it affects your family. Maybe the health of your family is being affected right now. Maybe there's the mental health within your family is being affected. Maybe the well-being of relationships is being affected. Maybe there's a financial attack. I just want to acknowledge for a moment that roar at different times, it can be unnerving. It's unnerving. Put your family sometimes out of equilibrium when the devil comes to try and push against what God's doing. I just want to encourage you. This is my declaration for me. This is my declaration for my household. This is my declaration for our church. This is my declaration for each and every single one of you that I pray that you join with this morning. That in this season more than ever, we're going eyes fixed. Eyes fixed on Jesus. Eyes fixed on the One. Maybe in these challenges, it's like all I want to do is just ruminate on what's going on. But oh no, I guarantee you that as we join our faith together, it's going to look a whole lot different when we begin to meditate on the One. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? There's some things that I mentioned this morning. And as we go eyes fixed on the One, as we go eyes fixed on Jesus, there's some things that I felt God speak to me about last night. Just close your eyes if you can. Just lift your hands before Jesus. And as we go eyes fixed on Jesus, I've heard Him clearly say that these are the things that are going to overflow for people in our church and the people we're connected to. As we're eyes fixed, we're going eyes fixed to break addiction, to break earthly behavior and practices. We're going eyes fixed to break the stronghold on minds, on your mind, on the minds of your loved ones. We're going eyes fixed for the miracle, eyes fixed for the fire of God to move, eyes fixed for the heavens will be done on earth, eyes fixed for the salvation of your people, eyes fixed for the unrepairable family divisions that will be made whole again. Eyes fixed for the devil to be cast off the people in your family. Eyes fixed for every generation in our church to grow and flourish. For our kids, our youth, our young adults, our older adults. Let there be life in Jesus' powerful name. Eyes fixed for the joy to overflow. Eyes fixed for overflow of provision and abundance. Eyes fixed as we obey Him and following His direction. That God's goodness flows in Jesus' name. Eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of faith. Amen. In Colossians 3 verse 2, it says, fix your eyes on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Holy Spirit, we declare that we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're fixing our eyes on heaven's will and we're believing that it comes down. We are your conduits, Lord. Use us to release heaven's will into our families, into our church, into our community, into our city, Father God. Holy Spirit, this is what I want us to do this morning. We're going to sing. We're going to sing with everything we've got. And we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the One who has overcome. The One who's overcome. Holy Spirit.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.